contested agenda. There is an issue on that that I'll bring back at 9 o'clock because that's the way it was noticed. So we'll proceed to item 4. We're ready to go. All right. I'll read the hearing procedure. This is the time and place for hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider adoption of the draft municipal stormwater permit for Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and the Sonoma County Water Agency. This item has been properly noticed. The order of presentation will be as follows. Staff presentation, co-permittees, comments by government agencies, comments by interested persons. Time constraints for oral testimony or comments will allow no more than 30 minutes each for the water quality staff and co-permittees, 30 minutes to be split amongst all three entities, and 3 minutes each for other interested persons. Interested persons may request additional time. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
We'll begin with staff presentation.
Chair, did you want to deal with the late comments at this point?
Yeah, I can.
We had late comments submitted by Brenda Edelman and by the county. The counties came in at after 5 o'clock yesterday, and I believe Brenda's came in Monday.
Thank you.
So we did have a chance to review Brenda's comments. I don't know if staff had much of a time to review the county's comments.
Well, we did skim them and discuss them briefly.
Yeah, the chair would note that there's not much time between 5 after 5 and 8:47 in the morning. So, it is difficult to take comments. It's hard up here to have a chance to, I mean, we do our homework and we try to prepare for the meeting. I have read through the comments. Given that they're from a co-permittee and one major impacted by our decisions, we'll allow for them to be included in the record and ask that during that discussion that we have the county spend time walking us through the document and drawing out the points they want to make from it so that we have a chance to reflect on them before our action. So with that, Mona.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mona Doherty, an engineer with your staff. We're here today to discuss the municipal stormwater permit for Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and the Sonoma County Water Agency. And at this time, I'd like to enter the file and this presentation into the record. Okay. today, I'd like to review the permit history, the co-permittee's recent accomplishments, and discuss the draft permit, specifically revisions made after July 22nd public hearing, the benefits to water quality, cost estimates, comments we received on the second draft permit, and discuss the late revisions after my presentation. The municipal stormwater program is known as the MS4 program, which stands for Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System. These permits are adopted at the direction of EPA. The MS4 permit history of the Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Sonoma County Water Agency Phase 1 permit. The first term permit was adopted in March 1997. The second term was adopted in June 2003, and today we're here to discuss the third term permit. And this is our third draft of this permit. We released this first draft in September 2008 for a 43-day comment period. We received 159 comment letters, and we held many meetings with interested parties to discuss those comments. In May of 2009, we released the second draft permit for a 45-day comment period, and we received 17 comment letters. And since the July 22nd public meeting, we've held 6 meetings with the co-permittees to discuss their comments. So the co-permittees' recent accomplishments that I'd like to highlight include, for the Sonoma County Water Agency, that they have a draft LID and water conservation manual out, and they are also discussing their flood control manual being updated to address hydro modification. So both these manuals, as they've been proposed, will satisfy the requirements of the permit for LID and hydro modification. The City of Santa Rosa has been making new water conservation efforts, has a good complaint response program. They recently won an award for their high school outreach program, and Sonoma County recently adopted a grading ordinance with wetland and riparian setbacks. So on July 22, 2009, we held a public meeting to discuss this permit, and at the meeting, the board gave us some direction to move forward. The direction was that staff was to meet with the co-permittees and other parties as needed to make clarifications to the draft permit. Co-permittees were to submit detailed cost estimates. Staff was to evaluate where costs can be reduced while protecting water quality. And staff was to provide information on benefits to water quality and review monitoring data. So in making revisions to the draft permit, we met with the co-permittees 6 times on these dates. Resulting from these meetings and comments we received on the second draft permit, staff made many additional clarifications to the permit, and these are included in your agenda package and underlined strikeout format as the second attachment to the USR. The clarifications that we've made resulted in millions being removed from the cost estimates submitted by the co-permittees. We do have late revisions to discuss following my presentation as well. So the primary revisions we made for the third draft were we extended 9 deadlines. We moved the TMDL tables to the fact sheet. We clarified commercial sources for inspections and gave a definition of nurseries. We clarified the definition of an MS4, reiterating that it does not include waters of the state. We clarified the storm drain mapping requirement that no videotaping of the MS4 was needed. We accepted certain projects from the reconstruction requirements for post-construction stormwater treatment controls. These exceptions are public reconstruction projects on small roads and public utility installation or replacement projects. We changed the effective date of size thresholds for new development projects to June 1st, 2010, so the size thresholds would be implemented as soon as possible. We added LID performance standards that are consistent with SUSUMP, consistent with the construction stormwater general permit, and consistent with recently adopted MS4 permits. So some of the key permit changes we made to the in this third draft from our permit that was adopted in 2003. These are new requirements in this permit, and we think they will provide important benefits for water quality. Many of the tasks I'm going to discuss are already being completed by one of our Phase 2 communities. In the public outreach program, we've added a requirement to provide materials to public and businesses on proper fertilizer use and green waste disposal. For industrial and commercial facilities, there are new requirements for inspections of nurseries and landscape yards, and this is to ensure proper fertilizer use, green waste disposal, housekeeping, and BMPs. In the planning and land development program, we put in a smaller size threshold of new or replaced impervious surface for post-construction BMPs. The new size threshold is 10,000 square feet for an industrial or commercial projects and 1 acre for single-family home. This will ensure that BMPs are included in more projects. The size threshold in the 2003 permit was 1 acre for all projects. For new development and redevelopment projects, we added low-impact development performance standards, which mimic pre-development hydrology for small storms, and we added requirement for maintenance of BMPs. In the construction program, we added grading restrictions for hillside projects, which require increased oversight in winter grading. We also included specific BMPs for construction sites. And for public activities and municipal operations, we included a requirement for the Fishnet 4C manual or an equivalent to be used for road maintenance projects, and we included specific BMPs for corporation yards. We added additional requirements for non-stormwater discharges, including monitoring, inspection, complaint response, and enforcement, and for illicit connections and discharges to improve complaint response and tracking, and we included provisions to provide for easier spill reporting and increased transparency for the public. So these changes will provide important water quality benefits, such as reducing pollutants in stormwater and non-stormwater discharges to the Laguna de Santa Rosa. We focused on sediment and nutrients, and this is consistent with the goals of the Laguna TMDL. These changes will reduce hydromodification in surface waters, reduce vector habitat, improve enforcement to control over-irrigation with recycled water, and provide consistent, clear standards and measurable goals to implement the permit. These tasks are feasible and will provide significant water quality benefits. They are being performed in many communities throughout the state and nation, and even in one of our phase two communities. We also did some additional research on the costs of MS4 programs. The Academy of Sciences did a national survey of phase one and phase two permittees in 2005. And the monthly residential fees reported in this survey had a wide range from $1 to $14 monthly per household. The most common range fell between $3 and $6 monthly per household. So staff and the co-permittees worked on cost estimates, and we held several meetings to discuss these. The result from these meetings was a trend of reducing costs. One of the first estimates we received was reported as $300 per household annually. Then we heard $160 annually per household. And we ended up at the last estimate around $49 for the city and $76 for the county annually per household. We made additional permit revisions to reduce costs, and these clarifications were made after we received the last cost estimates. And they will remove additional millions from the cost of the permit. We also believe that implementation of the permit will result in lower costs than the current estimates. We believe that there's areas where cost savings and efficiencies can occur, and we can work through this during our monthly meetings that we hold with the co-permittees. The new permit will, however, result in increased costs above the 2003 permit. These costs are consistent with MS4 programs nationwide and statewide. And as I said, staff will continue to meet with the co-permittees to implement the permit cost effectively. So we also reviewed the monitoring data, and we did find some limitations for our data analysis and assessing trends. We had problems with unpaired data points. Some of the sampling locations were located a good distance away from outfalls, so it was hard to determine the source of the pollutants in the data. And many of the urban streams were not monitored. We did note high bacteria results and toxicity in some streams, but the sources, we could not determine the sources of this of these water quality problems. So we did modify the monitoring reporting program based on our data review. So we received 17 comment letters on the second draft permit, and these are the main comments. On the permit boundary, The permit boundary that we've proposed in the third draft is the same as the existing boundary that was adopted in 2003. Some commenters had requested an expansion of a permit boundary, and we had proposed that in an earlier draft. We decided, after negotiating with the county, that to reduce costs and still take care of the major water quality programs that would have the most benefit for water quality, that we would propose another regulatory action, such as a permit or a waiver, that would cover new development and redevelopment requirements, municipal operations, and spill response. And we plan to bring that forward to you at a later meeting. So we intend that this regulatory action would implement these three program elements countywide within the North Coast region. This is the current boundary outlined in red. It's a little cut off. It was hard to fit into the slide. The county also requested that they be moved to a phase two permit. And while there were several reasons they were designated in 1997 as a phase one community, and here, this is some of them, the main point at this time is that we believe that this would be backsliding, and it would not be permissible for discharges into impaired waters. So we do not think it's legally possible. We received comments on the Laguna de Santa Rosa TMDL, And staff's response is that the 1995 TMDL is valid. It was approved by both the Water Board and US EPA. It did not include a final compliance date, though. So the net waste load goals are goals and not enforceable. The TMDL requirements were moved to the fact sheet to clarify this issue, and they're in the fact sheet to support the nutrient reduction BMPs and outfall monitoring. We received comments on non-stormwater discharges, including concerns with runoff from recycled water irrigation. The permit does require BMPs to eliminate or reduce these runoff events, such as inspections, monitoring and enforcement, complaint tracking, and increased transparency. And the permit will implement the basin plan. And we do think that this is going to result in a reduction of these runoff events. So for low impact development standards, we received a lot of comments on this issue. And just to give you a, I'm sure, I know you're all familiar with LID, but to give you a definition really quickly. LID is a development site design strategy with a goal of maintaining or reproducing the pre-development hydrologic system through the use of design techniques to create a functionally equivalent hydrologic setting. Hydrologic functions of storage, infiltration, and groundwater recharge, as well as the volume and frequency of discharges, are maintained through the use of integrated and distributed small-scale stormwater retention and detention areas, reduction of impervious surface, and the lengthening of flow paths and runoff time. So LID is being used statewide and nationwide in all soils and climates. Congress has even mandated it for federal new development. The second draft permit included adequate LID provisions for water quality treatment, but the hydrology element was unclear. We examined various approaches, such as full capture on site of the design storm required in many California MS4 permits, but because of our climate and soils, we determined that this approach was not feasible. We decided on an alternative that the difference between the pre- and post-development hydrology for the design storm would be maintained, including an off-ramp for projects that couldn't meet that standard. This approach is consistent with the approach taken by Region 2 in the Bay Area permit and the State Board in the Construction General permit, and is strongly recommended by EPA. We received comments on unfunded mandates, and I wanted to give you a little update since our last discussion on this. The Commission on Unfunded Mandates recently decided some test claims, and they found that a requirement for trash receptacles at transit stops was the only unfunded mandate. The permit does not contain that language. The co-permittees can decide where and how many trash receptacles to use. And our belief is the permit does not contain unfunded mandates. We received comments on prescriptive requirements in the permit, and we did include specific BMPs and measurable goals in the draft permit. And these BMPs are needed in lieu of effluent limits that are not in the permit, and greater specificity is consistent with US EPA guidance. The Academy of Sciences did a study and found that programs with specific permit requirements and measurable goals are more successful. We compared our permit requirements with other permits recently issued on these important elements in this table, and found that our draft permit is consistent, if not slightly more lenient, than recently adopted and issued MS4 permits throughout the state. And in conclusion, after my presentation, I'd like to discuss the late revisions. And our staff recommendation is to adopt the draft permit as proposed with late revisions. And I can either answer your questions now, or I can move to the late revisions and answer the questions after the late revision, whichever you prefer.
Why don't we go ahead in 1 minute to late revisions, but I'm going to go back up on the agenda. As I said, we have an uncontested item set for 9 o'clock, and given that we've just passed that time, I want to take care of that item and allow staff to vacate. So on that, we're going back to item three. All right, let's do go through late revisions. I think they were emailed to board members 2 days ago. Maybe it was just yesterday. It seems like two days.
It seems like a long time ago, but it was just yesterday.
And we have one insert floating around in there that seems to be new.
There is a loose page of changes I made last night.
Okay.
So these late revisions were based on discussions we had on September 28th and 29th with the Sonoma County Fire Chiefs Association, the City of Santa Rosa, and the United States Environmental Protection Agency. So I want to walk you through these late revisions so you can understand what we were, what our intention was here. The first page is page 3 of the fact sheet, and it actually was a clarification made by our legal staff on non-stormwater discharges and alternative MS4 permits. The next page is page 11 of the permit, and we made some clarifications at the city's request on the date for which they have to submit the BMP plans. And then on page 12 of the permit is the next page. We removed the language that seemed to give preference to sodium thiosulfate at the request of the Sonoma County Fire Chiefs Association. They are concerned that it might be used too liberally, which could have a deleterious effect on water quality. Page 13 is the loose page that you guys received, that changes I made last night, and that's I had forgotten to remove sodium thiosulfate from two other areas in that table. So page 13 removes it from two other parts of that table. The next page is 24 of the permit, and it changes the definition of, changes catch basin to storm drain inlet, and I'll explain a little bit why that was needed in a minute. Now we come to some of the changes that that EPA requested, and these get at the issue of LID performance standards. So this they asked us to have more of a emphasis on volume control. In the second draft, volume control was a goal. In this draft, volume control is a requirement with an exception process or an off-ramp if needed. So those changes are related to that. Then on page 41, we have a change again at the request of EPA to help us clarify feasibility criteria for which the co-permittees can give different prioritized BMPs, approve them for projects. So we want to make that clearer for the public, to have more transparency. So EPA asked us to make these criteria that they're going to grant these approvals open for public review. Also on this page above, we have something that the City of Santa Rosa requested, wanted to make sure that we allowed for certain structure, modular, and proprietary separator BMP units, and some other types of BMPs such as trashless excluders and non-LID filter systems. So those would be a lower priority but still allowed partially for treatment. And it might be a part of a treatment train, like such as an oil-water separator for a parking lot or something like that. So then the next page is page 42. And these have some changes that our staff made to the hydro modification parts of the permit based on comments we received from the city and some local engineering groups. And these changes are intended to give more flexibility in determining the interim and final hydro modification requirements. The next page is 47, and it makes the changes that will be required to update CSUMP for executive officer approval. And then next is 57, and it makes the co-permittees implement the Fishnet 4C or an equivalent manual rather than just Sonoma County. And then page 60 is next, and this is the catch basin issue I was discussing. So under the storm drain operation and management and trash management, for catch basin cleaning, we defined at the city's request catch basins to include storm drain inlets that have a sump to catch debris. So since we defined catch basins that way for this cleaning requirement, I changed all references to catch basin and the rest of the permit to storm drain inlets unless they were intended to have a sump. And then you see on page 61, the next page, more changes I made changing catch basins to storm drain inlets. And again, 62, more changes from catch basins to storm drain inlets. And then the final page is the final two pages are the first page and second page of the monitoring reporting program. And I made some changes at the request of the city to they thought that including the CFR reference with a grab sample was inconsistent. So we clarified this, that the city could use grab samples for the receiving water monitoring. And then we added in, based on another comment, that they'll submit their detection limits for their monitoring for our approval. And that is it. I'm sorry. I know that's confusing at the last minute. But I'm free to answer any questions if you have them.
Okay. Any question by board members?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Norton.
Mona, thank you for your hard work on this permit. Couple questions, just from the standpoint of the permit boundary, because I saw comments of that, and I know it's going to come up today. So can you maybe walk us through that a little bit? I understand that we started this permit iteration with a expansion of the boundary for all of Sonoma County, and then within the drafts that have come forth and been formulated from that time, the permit boundary has changed, and now it's back to where it was. But that there was perhaps some trade-off in that process, which included some implementation by county to do the low-impact development, illicit connection, spill response, and some other things. When you talk about a waiver, does that include those things then in the waiver, the four types of actions that come about within that outside the existing phase one boundary to include county areas?
Yes, and we haven't necessarily narrowed it just to a waiver. We're considering several regulatory actions which could achieve that. To go through history a little bit, in the first draft permit, we had proposed to expand the permit boundary to all of Sonoma County within our jurisdiction. And this was done for multiple reasons, such as endangered species, habitat, protection of recreation for coastal users, our area of special biological significance off the Sonoma coast, and our impaired waters that we have throughout the county, not just in the Laguna. So that had been our initial proposal in the first draft. And then when we negotiated with the county, they expressed their concerns that that would be too costly. So we decided that there were three program elements that were most important to achieve water quality benefits. And that is requirements for new development, municipal operations such as road maintenance, and spill response. So we negotiated with the county that we would be willing to go back to the existing permit boundary that was adopted in 2003 permit, and in exchange then they would work with us on some kind of regulatory program to implement these three programs countywide.
And that's how it stands today.
That's how this permit stands today. Yes.
Okay. On another issue, monitoring data, I understand it's at least not out there all the way as far as looking at that data and pouring over it. Can you, though, speak to any trends within that data over time? We've had a permit in place since 97. Can you talk about trends? Because this permit now, as it's written, indicates that implementation of this permit gets to MEP. So has the permits over time stepped towards MEP? Does the data show that?
Unfortunately, the data does not show that. And we are preparing a draft report, which isn't finalized yet, but on our data analysis. Mostly it involves the reasons why we could not reach a determination, such as you're asking. And a lot of it, we can't actually tell whether it's because the data doesn't, or the sampling won't show that, you know, because it's not happening, or whether the data is just not, we don't have enough of it, or we don't have it in enough areas or specific enough to stormwater to show that the trends are to show to determine any kind of trends.
Okay. Last question. Laguna TMDL, the waste reduction strategy from 95 set some waste load allocations out there, but yet the TMDL Laguna is in play now, and it comes and perhaps is finished within this permit term. So can you speak a bit of the timing to that, perhaps, and how that changes this permit when it is implemented as far as those waste load allocations?
Mm-hmm. The waste load allocations that were in the 1995 Laguna TMDL are still in effect, but because of the way they were written and that they do not have a compliance date, we consider them goals and not enforceable. That's why they're in the fact sheet. So that is something that we still need to consider in this permit, but it's not an enforceable waste load allocation. Our staff is currently working on an update to the TMDL for the Laguna, And once that is completed and adopted by all the appropriate agencies, then we will be reopening this permit. If we're not ready for the, if we're not already in the next permit, we'll be reopening to include those in this permit.
Thanks, Mona.
Any other board member questions? Okay, we'll have you back later, I'm sure. Okay, we had 30 minutes set aside for the staff presentation, and the chair has noted that it's exactly 30 minutes. Just we have 30 minutes set aside for the co-permittees. But if it runs long, that'll be understandable. So I don't know if you've drawn straws or who the co-permittee leadoff is, but Mr. Ferris.
Chairman Anderson and members of the board, we have a few issues to discuss today, but I think first and foremost, the city is really committed to improvement of water quality and reduced stormwater pollution in all our creeks. It's just an advantage to us, the city, and I think to the state as a whole. I also want to just make sure that I just for a moment thank the staff for their meetings. I particularly appreciate the executive officer and assistant executive officer for taking the time and trouble to help us work through these issues, and I think we've come a very long way in solving and understanding each other's point of view, and tremendously appreciated. Since 1996, the city's had a good record of complying with its stormwater permit and implemented programs. We have the Creek Stewardship Program that has 4,500 volunteers now that work in it. We've had an environmental crimes detective at work, and we've prosecuted numerous water quality violations. We had an award-winning 16-page 208 Water and Creeks program summary that we distributed to 29,000 residents via the Press Democrat. And we just recently won an award for our high school aquatic macro invertebrate bioassessment program. How's that for a mouthful? But let's get down to the permit. And the city is concerned that national standards for the LID BMPs being proposed are in large inappropriate to Santa Rosa due to our clay soils. And to this, we strongly urge the board, and I've seen the changes that recently occurred, which are great, to eliminate language that discourages the use of underdrains. If you look at Santa Rosa and its environs, clay is the majority. It's soils where these things work is the minority, in a very small minority of soils. And the cost to the engineering, to the development, and what have you are enormous. The city supports the language in a permit that requires limiting peak flow and peak velocity, but not duration. The city asks that requirements related to limiting duration and peak volume be removed from the permit. I think clarification has been added in this area, and we appreciate that. The city strongly supports the LID concept. We believe that the LID program should be rolled out when LID technical manual sensitive to local conditions is completed. One of the things that I did have an issue with, and I've had an issue with, and so I had a thorough investigation made, and one of them is the pictures that accompany a lot of these that show this horrible-looking brown mud flowing down into storm drains, and you're ready to have heart failure over it. The one in particular in the permit happens to be at the West College yard. And here is, it's a third-party report, and all the documentation on the manhole that flows into, which is, has a filter in it to take the mud out. It shows mud sitting there that's in the manhole in the picture, and if I saw it, I'd have heart failure. I'd say, what kind of an idiot is it? Well, the storm drain leading into the out of there is blocked off at the moment because this site's under construction. As you can see, the lift of pavement is not finished, and actually they're paving today. So when we looked at a number of these pictures, we found like one of them showed rock that's sitting in the middle of the street that there's no storm drain for. It happens that the rock was there for one day. They dropped it in the morning. They used a dump truck. It was a lateral project up in Parsons Way. They loaded the dirt in. At the end of the day, all the rock to the last stone had to be removed. That was part of it. I've read the inspector's reports, and that was done. And we had another one that looked like it was a contractor had gone amiss. And when it turned out, when you find it, investigate it, it was an illegal four-wheeler that went tearing through the site and tore it all up. And the site was repaired before it rained. And one of the things that I think these audits do, EPA, I know, has little money. there's not enough money to do audits and all that. But first of all, they never get reported to you until you find a picture later. And then second of all, it creates a belief that isn't true, and it's distressing. And so we would like, and in fact, I would encourage if anybody sees something that's wrong, to report it. In fact, I think it's your duty, if you find something wrong, if particularly if you believe you're an environmentalist, to get it reported. Then if it isn't handled, you certainly have righteous grounds to take a permittee on. We did have cost concerns, and I think clearly the current economic conditions present a real ongoing thing to the city. The state board report I noticed didn't talk about SB 310, which was another attempt to find a way to fund these programs. And it was we fought hard again this year in the legislature. I wore a pair of shoes out, but it was to no avail. And we are tied to Prop 13. We do have fixed resources. And when you say I add $5 on, that $5 comes out as something else. It isn't like it's a reasonable additional cost. It comes out of us. And we, again, wish we could do far more than we're doing now. City only gets about two-thirds of its money through a storm drain fee that we have. We cannot change it. And so that creates a bit of problem when we look at some of these permits. And if you wonder why we're sensitive, we're looking at police and fire for cuts versus stormwater versus other health and safety issues. This isn't a enterprise fund, which we would like to make it. The city has continued to voluntarily enhance our monitoring program beyond requirements in the permit. We've added additional species to our bioassay testing. We've added two outfalls to our sampling. We focus a lot on sediment, nutrients, and bacteria, which are really issues of concern. I think during the 207, EPA auditors found no deficiencies in the city program, and we were praised for it. I'm concerned they didn't have enough money to be thorough. I would like to see if there are any things, because there's nothing perfect, and if I could find a way to make things better through, you know, a third party with clear eyes and that, we appreciate those kinds of things. They're of value. I again want to say, in preparation of this permit renewal, the city's met with the board, the staff, and we look for effective ways, I think, to make the new monitoring programs effective. As I said, we've added three species to the bioassay testing, additional outfalls, and all of which will be in the final draft. The city is supportive of the BMPs for potable and recycled water irrigation. The proposed BMPs for recycled water irrigation in the NPES permit brings our NPDES permit in line with the statewide recycled water policy and the recycled water landscape irrigation general permit. The requirements for the general for the BMPs and the NPDES permit and the basin plan will provide an improvement to surface water quality such that only incidental runoff of potable or recycled water might occur. The city is very committed to maintaining health of our local ecosystems in our creeks. Overall, we are deeply appreciated to Regional Water Quality Control Board working with us to help us resolve many of the concerns we had, and ask that the remaining concerns be noted today regarding sensitivity to local conditions be addressed prior to the permit adoption, which I think a lot of the changes that we've seen already at the last go are very symptomatic of that, and we ask your support of them. We believe that it is imperative to allow the city to accomplish the permit's water quality goals and intentions most efficiently and effectively. And with that, I'm ready to take any question you might have, and I appreciate your time and particularly the staff's all-out effort to make this permit something that's good for the environment and is livable. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Miles. Chair's preference would be to hold questions till we get through all the co-permittees so that we can. Otherwise, it becomes a timing, and we gave them more time than the other guy, so we don't want to do that. Next up, and I'm going to assume that Miles and the other co-permittees will all stick around, so we pull them back up for questions once we get through here.
Yes. Good morning, Chair and members of the board. My name is Kevin Booker, and I'm with the Sonoma County Water Agency. I don't have much to say. I really just want to talk a little bit about the water agency and its commitment to stormwater. A lot of the stuff that we do is not really required by the stormwater, but yet we do it. One of the things that we do is we participate with RRWA to do the video contest. In the past years, it's been about stormwater, and recent it's changed, but it's still about pollution prevention. We also partner with the city in the Creek Stewardship Program. We help fund that position. And as Miles said, that's actually a really good program. We also, a couple years ago, started a musical assembly program where a pair comes up and they do musical skits to elementary school kids to talk about stormwater, water conservation, water sustainability. The first year that program hit about 6,000 kids. This year they're up over 10,000. And if you look at the reviews for that program, it's all 100%, and why don't you do more, and can you come back next year? But due to the funding, they do about 20 schools per year. Another thing that we do as part of the water agency in our flood control program is that we pick up trash in all the various creeks. A lot within the Zone 1A that you've seen up on the screen, that's within the current permit boundary, easily over 50 tons a year. And it varies from tires, you know, refrigerators, you name it, and we've found it. And another thing that's going on right now that you've heard mentioned is the water agency actually embarked on producing a LID manual slightly before this first draft permit came out. And to date, we've completed what we would consider to call a light, LID light. It's really, right now, it's just sort of a guidance manual. And that manual has been released to the public, but we have had numerous meetings with the Phase 1 group, which is the city and the county. And also we've gone through RRWA to reach the Phase 2 communities. And the goal for this manual is not just for the Phase 1, but it's really for the entire Sonoma County. Ideally, we'll be able to use it down in the Sonoma Valley, which is in Region 2. And also it'll be available to anybody even outside of the county to pick up and use. And also with that, the agency has embarked on updating its flood control design manual. The manual, I think, is over 20 years old, and we're updating that. And as a part of that, the agency is going to look at HydroMod for the stormwater program. And as I've heard the other day, there's a little group with the county, I believe the city, and the staff member from the agency who's actually heading up the FC, the flood control design update. They've already started meeting to talk about the HydroMod. And I know the consultant who's putting the FCDC, the LID manual together has had numerous meetings with the agency staff, obviously, but also with, again, the co-permittees. I know they're scheduled to go and meet with ASCE, I believe it's this month, and they're also going to give a presentation to the North Bay Watershed Association tomorrow. And then they're going to look also to start branching out and hitting the design communities to get their thoughts on the LID manual. The goal is to produce a manual and have buy-in from everyone so that ideally it's one manual for the county. And it's almost like a one-stop shop. You go, there's this manual, and it covers your flood control design criteria that you're going to have to, that you're held to, and it's also going to include LID. With that, you know, we had concerns with the permit, but we met with your staff, and they addressed our concerns. So the water agency is ready to begin to implement this current permit. And that's all I have. I guess I'll wait till after the next presentation and see if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Nathan Quarles. I'm with the County of Sonoma Permit and Resource Management. First off, I'd like to echo Miles' comments about the meetings with your executive officer, Kat, and with Luis, the assistant, and also with your staff. We have met so many times, countless times, and in particular, the August 22nd, I think, meeting where we had, a meeting of the minds. There was a lot of clarification. As a result of that, your staff is correct that the cost estimates went down significantly, and I just want to comment that, those outreach efforts are welcomed, and we, got a lot out of them. I'm going to make some comments a little bit later about the program, and they're going to sound negative, but the one thing that in overall, the county is trying to strike a balance between protecting the environment and having a permit that is legal, in our opinion, and reflects the rural setting of the county. And so when we start making comments that appear negative, we're trying to strike this balance. And it may sound not protective of the environment, but we're just trying to strike this balance. So here's an outline of today's presentation, and you are correct. I am going to talk about the permit boundary and the type of permit again, get into this agreement that was discussed earlier. Thank you, sir. Thanks. Get into some of the permit revisions. We did submit comments late yesterday, and we went through these comments were based on the September 24th version that was released, and we had less than a week to comment and make it here today, so that's why they were late, and I appreciate the time and the presentation is designed to walk you through those comments as well. And then we also want to touch on the cost as well. So getting into the phase one permit, I was here a few months ago. We've talked about this before. When we saw the original permit boundary countywide, we started into reevaluating why we are phase one, and it started off as interconnected MS4s within the city of Santa Rosa. It expanded to watershed-wide approach in Marquess Creek and the Laguna, which in our view was the mistake because the regulations talk about census-designated places, which are depicted here. You've seen this image before a couple months ago. These are the census-designated places according to the federal government. The regulations say that these areas need a MS4 permit. Contrast this with the permit boundary. The areas outside the red line are not census-designated places, yet they were included in the 2003 version of the permit and are in today's permit before you. Let's see. I wanted to... So here's just a map of it. I was going to try... Here we go. This is Google Maps, and so here's Santa Rosa. You can see just visually that it is urbanized. Oops, I wanted to scroll. Okay, so this is scrolling south. This is the 101 corridor, and you see some urbanization along 101. You get into Roner Park and Cotati. Fairly well urbanized. This is a Roner Park and Cotati are also census designated places, and they have a phase two permit. Scrolling back up, you see the Santa Rosa urban plain. I'm going to go west to Sebastopol. Fairly urbanized, census designated place under a phase two permit. Again, back up to Santa Rosa. Here is Larkfield Wickiup, which is the biggest population center in the county in the permit boundary relative to, for example, relative to Windsor. It's smaller than Windsor. Windsor is a phase two census designated place, whereas Larkfield Wickiup is a census designated place, but we're under a phase one permit. So the county has seen some disparity in the way we're being treated, and also considering, I'll just scroll. This is in the Marquess Creek watershed, not very urbanized. You do see some homes out there, but it is generally rural in nature and is not a census-designated place, yet it was incorporated in a Phase 1 permit, which, again, is one of our main issues. Okay, so we did that. I'll stick on this map for a second. Some of our points are legal points. We're trying to make a legal point here. We don't think this was a correct thing to do. Also want to make some practical points. We understand that the Marquess Creek watershed and the Laguna watersheds, or the watercourses themselves, are impaired. Impacts do happen. They are happening in these watersheds. And, you know, our director has made ovations to your executive officer to work with the state to figure out how to deal with these impacts. But in our view, these impacts are not coming from the MS4, which is barely existent in these watersheds. It's coming from other land uses. They are coming from non-point sources, and they also may be coming from private storm drain systems or private point sources. But when looking at the setting, there's very little county-owned MS4 in that permit boundary up in the upper watersheds where the impacts are coming from. So from a practical sense, you know, the permit, the MS4 permit won't get you to improving water quality in these watersheds primarily because of a lack of the MS4s. The impacts are coming from other sources. Okay, so we touched on that. In regards to this agreement, we have worked with your staff over time, which has also been a good effort, and we commend that, and we've reached a consensus on the details of the work items in particular. We do have a disagreement about the mechanism. In the permit and in talking with the executive officer, they are honing in on two particular mechanisms, and these are regulatory tools known as waste discharge requirements or a waiver of waste discharge requirements. Our view, again, is that these areas are, number one, they're outside the permit boundary. Number two, they don't rate for a phase one permit on any other criteria, population or whatnot. They're not a census designated place. They wouldn't rate for a phase two permit. And therefore, we've put out that we want to do this work under an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with the state or some other written document, just not a permit or a waiver of a permit. In regards to further justification, we have two other MOUs with the state, one for underground tanks and one for on-site systems. Now, we realize the distinction here is in one case, we're asked to be a regulator and go ask other people to do work. And in the second case, we own the facility, a roadside ditch, if you will. But the other aspect is we've been under a permit for 6 years now. We haven't had the water board staff has not cited us for a single violation. We're in compliance with that permit. In other programs, we do quite a bit to protect water quality that we've discussed in the past and submitted in writing to this board. And in general, we're good actors. Sure, the MS4 program with the county is a fairly large program, affects six different departments, many staff. I mean, we're not perfect. There's improvements that's needed. But in general, we're in compliance, and we do a pretty good job of implementing the permit. We think that that should rate for something, and we're seeking your consideration in terms of working with us with an informal agreement versus a permit or waiver outside the current permit boundary to implement the agreement and the action items outside the MS4 permit. Recommended edits. We've submitted an attachment. We've submitted the letter, which apparently came in at 5:05 p.m., as well as an attachment that goes through some of the specifics. Mona mentioned that they edited the definition of the MS4, and that's not our view is that they inserted a finding with some really good language, but that didn't make it into the definition section, which is attachment C. We're requesting that that language make it into the actual definition, and we also would seek an exception to the prohibitions, A1 through A5, insert an exception to just mirror or enact the intent, which everybody is in agreement that if a pollutant gets in the waters of the state first, it's not the county's responsibility. It just may be passing through the MS4. Sir? Looks like you have a question? No, sorry.
I have many questions, okay. As people will expect. But.
We'll take them at the end, like you pointed out. Our next major area is for critical sources. Again, the regional water or your staff have put in some language at a specific paragraph, which is good. We would just like to see that similar language made in a second place where it wasn't. They did make edits in the second location, which is in the attachment, but not completely. So we want to just see that language be consistent throughout the document. On new development and redevelopment, we had some similar concerns that the city had on the hydrograph modification about the duration and the velocity, and I won't repeat that, but we have a similar concern. While we're on this topic, we do have a concern about the strikeout of the underdrains. I understand that's in response to comments from the EPA and the strive for consistency. But our view is the state of California is not consistent. We have, we have the Death Valley as a desert, minimal rainfall to rainforest on the north coast, coastal rainforest. Until the state is consistent, maybe we can have consistent language. But we think we, in this region and in Sonoma County in particular, there are site specifics that warrant different language. And so we are, against that strikeout language that staff has proposed just because it's, we have site specific conditions here in Sonoma County that would not make that too workable. Development construction program, let's see, we made, this has to do with the regulation, grading restrictions on hillsides with slopes greater than, or slopes 20% or greater. Your staff alluded to the intent of the language. We are in concurrence with the intent. However, there's several paragraphs in that section, B, C, and D, that we think need to be tabbed over so that they are, in terms of the hierarchy of the permit, they are all relate to the same thing, which is the hillside developments, and could not be construed in a broader context. And there were several things with our road department. In one of the meetings that we had, the August 22nd meeting where we had the meeting of the mind, so to speak, The staff presented one case, and we realize that it's not a guarantee, but the idea was to have water quality protection and have some flexibility built in to reduce costs. These changes were not made as to what we thought they were going to be, and we'd like you to consider those changes. That runs through our edits. We think that most of the edits are fairly straightforward, you know, tabbing some things in, inserting into a definition, but they are of significant, they have significant ramifications if they are not done. Getting to the costs, you know, as I mentioned, we discussed the provisions with Regional Water Board staff. We were, you know, led to believe that certain provisions were going to be made. Like I said, it was no guarantee. We did revise our costs based on those conversations, and the costs we submitted to this office were based on those conversations. And so if some of the changes aren't made, we'll have to, you know, reevaluate the costs. They are still high relative to the state average. You know, you heard 76, I kind of recall around 80, but I'm not going to quibble over that. But, I mean, and what we've heard is the range in the state is 40 to 80, so we're still high relative to the state. Also considering that, you know, we don't have much of an urban center in Sonoma County under permit. And also I mentioned that they were based on the verbal commitments that were made, and we may have to revise the costs. On a bright side on costs, the state board recently adopted the general construction stormwater permit. Embedded in that is a model on how to deal with post-construction issues. And we are investigating that, and we feel at least there's some hope there that this tool may be available to Sonoma County and the designers in Sonoma County. And if that is, in fact, if that does pan out, then that may alleviate some of the requirements in this order. So we're optimistic about that as well. In conclusion, again, we're requesting that you guys relook at the phase one permit versus a phase two, census designated places. All of that, we're looking for a permit that is reflective of the county. We know we have some urban centers, mostly rural, and we are requesting some specific permit changes that I tried to go through, but we did submit in writing. And I believe that concludes the presentation. Also, like I mentioned, you know, we're trying to balance between what we view as being legally correct and protective of the environment, and also considering the economy. One thing on the costs I forgot to mention is that the costs are going to go up at the same time our revenue is going down. So the disparity is getting bigger. We don't think that we can actually implement everything that's in this permit. So our strategy has been to prioritize the work items and do the highest priority based on cost effectiveness, improvement to water quality, and work until the money runs out. And at some point, we're going to be in noncompliance because, honestly, I don't think we can implement everything due to our finances, and we'll just see where that leads us when we get there. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Nathan. And Chair, thanks all three co-permittees. Clock on the wall suggests 30 minutes were consumed, so pretty amazing. All right. I suspect, as I indicated, I have many questions. Other board members will. I would entertain a notion of going to one additional speaker. We have one agency rep accommodating Alexis and hearing from her before we. I'm not quite sure. I think that my inclination would be to go through four or five, six public speakers and hear from everybody, and then again, I ask co-permittees to stick around because I suspect there'll be some questions that we get into the details of this, but to take comments first. And if Alexis is available, wants to come forward,
good Good morning, Chair Anderson and board members. I'm Alexis Strauss. I'm director of the Water Division. Am I speaking loudly enough? Yeah? All right. Away we go. We've reviewed the latest draft and have worked with your staff, as you know, and the co-permittees. I am not fully conversant in what changed after 5 p.m. yesterday, but I thought I would just summarize where we think we are with your folks on this. And with some relatively minor changes, we hope that you will consider adopting the permit today. We had suggested some LID requirements to board staff who had agreed with these revisions, and I understand that they are included in the errata sheet for the permit today. The first two revisions were really minor clarifications to the permit requirements, but the third and more substantive requirement was to require the development of feasibility criteria by the permittees for evaluating when LID requirements would not be feasible for a given project. I think that the testimony we've just heard speaks to that issue. Is when you have site-specific conditions, you want to have very clear and understandable criteria as to when you would take an alternative approach to the LID-sanctioned approach. The criteria would certainly be subject to public review and understanding and executive officer approval, which would ensure that any of the low-impact development waivers which would be granted are based on clear and measurable criteria, which would be very much consistent, as you saw on the slide that had been put up by Mona, with the way other recently issued MS4 permits have handled this. We've been very much invested in all the generations of... Shall I stop? No? No, I heard a beep. Okay. It must be me. We've been very much invested in how the MS4 permits language has been crafted upon reissuance, having audited just about every MS4 permit in California and in our western states. We're presently auditing Monterey and the Chico area MS4s. We're auditing the Caltrans operations in this board, and certainly we'll continue to circle back around as we then embark on the phase twos. I think that my understanding at present is that you understand that we do not support including under drains, and I can, if you wish, go back into the reasons for that. But I really think it's important that if we're going to keep to a consistent approach statewide for LID, that we understand why under drains, while they could come forward under the feasibility criteria, that why they're not sanctioned under LID and simply shifting that high flow burden to the collection systems. And as you appreciate, the collection systems are well burdened as they are at this point throughout the state. As I sat here, I suddenly became concerned about possible late revisions to the hydro modification section, which appear to weaken the permit, which, if I understand correctly, and I would love to be wrong, instead of requiring the permittees to implement control measures in the hydro mod section, the late change requires permittees merely to consider these measures. I assure you that when we're out in the field auditing MS4 performance or anybody's compliance with a permit, I don't know how to audit whether someone considered something. I only know how to audit whether they actually implemented something. We have revisited this issue time and again throughout the boards, and I think we have a very strong consensus among the EOs about why we are aiming for clear, measurable, and enforceable permit conditions. Staff asked us to address three other issues which have generated questions and concerns, specifically, first, the permit boundary, secondly, the downgrading from a phase one to a phase two, and thirdly, the Laguna de Santa Rosa TMDL. First, the permit boundary. In July of this year, we had submitted comments to the board supporting the permit boundary as had been described in the May draft permit, and we believe that this boundary is consistent with the regulatory definition of an MS4 in the Phase 1 regs, which requires permitting of cities with a population of 100,000 or more, such as Santa Rosa, and nearby interconnected storm sewers, such as those operated by Sonoma County. The permit boundary and the final permit being considered by the board today, I understand, has not changed from the May version, and we continue to support the board staff and the permit on that issue. In our July comment letter, we supported the board working with Sonoma County on implementation of various program elements that have been raised to you that could wisely occur on a countywide basis, including areas outside the area formally covered by the permit, because from a common sense point of view, the county is more effective if it were to do so. These would be requirements for new development, for municipal operations, and for spills, which in any common sense operation, whether you're a first responder or a developer or anything else, should be consistent countywide as we address water quality impairments, as we address budgets, as we address efficiency of municipal operations and the like. It would be most unfortunate to add to loadings and impairments for lack of a consistent countywide approach, and it would be unfair and inappropriate not to have a level playing field for development in any given county. Mm-hmm. I assure you that Ventura County and Orange County and San Diego County and everyone else has grappled with the very same issues that have been discussed with your staff and with you today. And it makes common sense to take various things on a countywide approach as they can be. I'll move quickly to reclassifying Sonoma County from a Phase 1 to a Phase 2 MS4. You may imagine that we would recommend against this request, and as we had pointed out in our July comment letter, we believe that Sonoma County was appropriately designated as a Phase 1 MS4 by this board in its 97 permit. The preamble to the Phase 2 stormwater regulations point out that stormwater permits are subject to the anti-backsliding requirements of the Clean Water Act, and as a Phase 1 permittee, Sonoma County has been subject to various requirements, particularly controls for industrial facilities, which are not included in the Phase 2 regulations. And as such, permitting for Sonoma County as a Phase 2 MS4 would not be consistent with the anti-backsliding requirements. Apart from the other concerns that I've articulated to you, this matter alone would lead me to consider objecting to this proposed permit if reclassification were to be approved. Third and lastly, the Laguna de Santa Rosa TMDL. At the board's workshop in July, we had supported omitting any enforceable requirements related to this TMDL in favor of updating the TMDL and including the updated requirements in the permit at a later date. The latest version of the permit is consistent with that recommendation. We support the permit on this issue, and we also strongly support the permit's strong and special BMP requirements aimed at reducing nutrients in the discharges. While these requirements don't depend on the TMDL, a stormwater management program is designed to achieve compliance with water quality standards, which is in Part B of the permit, the receiving water limitations. So I think that we have that well in hand and with a way forward that makes good sense. So in summary, I certainly do support adoption of the permit today with the revisions we've requested to the low-impact development requirements. I place great store in the lessons that we've learned on the ground with our permittees and regional board partners through our MS4 permits, and urge you to make sure that all of the permit conditions are clear, measurable, and enforceable. I appreciate the time that you've given me today, and at your convenience would respond to questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here. All right, why don't we go forward and have, like I say, I've got four cards. Alan Levine.
Hi, my name's Alan Levine, and I represent Coast Action Group, and Coast Action Group has been working on North Coast River issues and city and county issues for some period of time now. We believe that the staff has provided a good, reasonable, and flexible permit, and I think you've recognized that. I think the permit's necessary to address water quality issues in both the city and the county, and Mona made it clear that there would be water quality benefits derived from the permit. From my perception of what's been going on in the city and the county, they can do more, and they will if you ask them to. In response to David Noren's questions regarding trends and related to MEP, it's hard to relate trends when you don't have a robust monitoring program going on over a period of time, and part of the permitting requires more monitoring and in the future, and including information derived from the TMDL and monitoring associated with that will have more information in the future. About the boundary, I think that Alexis made really good points about it. I think if you wanted to, you could solve some problems for Nathan by expanding the boundary to be countywide as a phase one permit. I mean, that would be my preference, but I'm willing to go with what you have here as a start. This is the second step in addressing big issues on the Laguna. The first step was addressing the wastewater program from the city of Santa Rosa with the end game of zero net discharge of nutrients. But I think this is, as the second step, is a more important step. I don't believe that you can solve the water quality programs on the Laguna without a good enforceable MS4 permit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Virginia Porter, followed by Pete Lescure.
Good morning, Chairman Anderson and members of the board. Thank you for the time to speak to you today. I'm Virginia Porter, and I'm here representing the Russian River Watershed Association. We're a collaborative agency of nine public agencies in the Russian River Watershed. The three co-permittees on this item before you today are members of our association, as well as the Phase 2 communities of Cloverdale, Cotati, Healdsburg, Roanoke Park, Ukiah, and Windsor. As we expect that the provisions of the Phase 1 permit and the corresponding actions of the co-permittees will set a precedent for stormwater management throughout the watershed, our comments today reflect the interests of all of our nine member agencies, both the Phase 1 and Phase 2 agencies. Our organization is committed to achieving healthier watersheds by implementing effective regional programs. As such, we agree with the overall goals of the regional board and with the stormwater management plans of the co-permittees. We deeply appreciate the efforts that the board staff and the board have made with revising the Phase 1 permit. It's been a long and arduous process. However, we do believe that there are a few modifications that should be considered at this point in the permit process. And I'll spend a minute enumerating those requests that RRWA would like to make of the board today. Like the regional board and USEPA, we support the expanded use of low-impact development strategies for stormwater management. However, as currently written, the Phase 1 permit may actually inhibit LID in our region. In the mostly clay soils of Sonoma County, it is especially important that LID features be carefully designed to function properly and drain expeditiously. If underdrains are discouraged, as indicated in Part 4, Section 3E, many sites in our region will not be able to effectively implement LID strategies such as permeable pavements and bioretention areas. We ask that the board to modify this condition to consider site soil conditions so that LID strategies can be implemented effectively in Sonoma County. The permit also requires the co-permittees to initiate SUSUMP guidance, formally prioritizing LID treatment BMPs by January 2010. This early date may create a situation where developers are implementing LID features without proper guidance. The permit also states the LID technical guidance manual is not due until October 1st, 2011. We ask that the board modify the permit date such that the SUSUMP guidance prioritizing LID treatment BMPs only be initiated after the technical guidance documents are available. We also support the comment the county has made that in some instances the permit lacks some clarity. For example, in Part 8, Section 2, there's requirements for wet season grading that Mona had also referred to in her presentation. And the way the permit is currently formatted, it's unclear whether this applies just to hillside grading or to any site that has open grading in the winter at all. So we just ask that the word hillside be inserted into sections 2B and 2C to make it clear that the stipulation is for hillside and not for any grading permit. In addition to these specific comments, we'd like to express concern that the co-permittees and the local agencies have had very little time to review the changes that have been made since July 22nd. These last changes were posted just last Thursday, and we just only ask that the board take this short review time into their consideration today with considering some of these last minute modifications that are being requested by the co-permittees. We also would just like to reiterate the concern of the co-permittees that there is undue financial and administrative burdens as a result of the permit changes. These will be very difficult to absorb in these economic times. They would be difficult even in the best of times. So in conclusion, we want to just acknowledge that there's been a tremendous amount of difficult and yet collaborative work between the co-permittees and your staff over this last year in bringing the permit to the point that it's at today. We ask the board to carefully consider the final draft changes sought by the co-permittees and supported by RRWA. This is a time where we would like to see advances made that take into consideration all of the community's actions that have already taken place and best utilize those resources. We respectfully request the board to consider these further revisions and address the concerns that we've expressed and the co-permittees have expressed. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Virginia. Mr. Lescure, followed by Brenda. And after Brenda, the board's going to take a short break.
Good morning. My name is Pete Lescure. I'm the principal of Lescure Engineers and a member of the North Coast chapter of the American Council of Engineering Companies in California. My comments don't necessarily represent the I've not been authorized to speak by the local chapter board, but they would probably go along with me. I speak, obviously, in the context of a practicing engineer who has designed sewer sump plans and dealt with drainage and runoff and sedimentation. And I came this morning with a prepared written statements that I've derived from the Little Hoover Commission report that you may all be aware of, and I'm pleased to see a member of the state board here this morning. And the point I want to stress in there, and I've learned this morning that it's been addressed to a large degree, is cost effectiveness and prioritizing. Nathan Quarles made some comments in that regard. And I see that your staff and the regional board executive have made great efforts. I think from the regulatory cost, and I have to wonder, you know, looking at my practice and hearing my colleagues' comments about their design practice as to whether the cost effectiveness of these regulations to private development and redevelopment and to public development, not just the private developers, but the public development. You've heard, well, Nathan was probably speaking from the regulatory aspect, but from their operational aspect of when they have to do construction of new roads or maintain culverts, et cetera. I just want to stress that we need to look at the cost effectiveness of these regulations right down to the nature of the BMPs that are required and the how they're enforced and monitored. That's a very important aspect. And with declining revenues and declining development, the revenues will decline even further, tax revenues, that is. So anyway, I want to point out, as I've seen in the Little Hoover Commission, that the Port of Cologne Act, obviously you're paying attention to it, requires economic and cost-effective analyses of these things. I see there's some attention paid to it, but I want to stress that I think you need to look at the cost impacts at the development and redevelopment aspects in both the public and private sectors. So with that, I've left the executive summary of the Little Hoover Commission report for your reading pleasure. I hope that you're all aware of it, and there's a lot of remarks in there about the title of it is Clearer Structure, Cleaner Water, Improving Performance and Outcomes at the State Water Boards.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, Brenda, and then we'll take a short break.
Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I want to say in general I support this permit, and I think the staff has worked very hard. on a very difficult project. The only concern I have, which I've voiced before, is about the issue surrounding incidental runoff. I did submit extensive comments and pictures on Monday morning. I don't know if you have seen them or not, and I'll just try to summarize some of my major concerns. I just included pictures of the laguna. It's in very bad shape. This Ludwigia is right at Stony Point, and it's sort of in the downstream part of the Rohnert Park and Cotati areas. And it's an indication of what happens when there's too many nutrients entering into the waterway in combination with the lack of riparian vegetation and other factors. I am very concerned. I included a lot of pictures of runoff in Rohnert Park, and the reason why I felt this was relevant was that even though they are not part of this permit process, is that there is a reclamation permit for which Santa Rosa, as leaders of the subregional system, is responsible for. And I have reason to believe that this over-irrigation has been going on for a long time and has severely impacted the laguna. The pictures are currently being examined by your enforcement unit. But the part that concerns me is that how do you define incidental runoff? Now, there's a very general definition, and one of the concerns I have is whether there will be adequate oversight to assure that we don't have the kinds of runoffs that could occur if the definition is not adequately precise. And the focus would be on BMPs, which would supposedly take care of the problem, and Santa Rosa would be dealing with contractors who would carry out the BMPs. I did meet with your staff yesterday to talk about some of this, and they did agree that it's very important that the public be involved, that there be broad participation by the public, because neither your staff nor the city of Santa Rosa has enough eyes and ears to catch problems. Now, one concern I have is on these revisions on page 11 of 67, part D. It says a BMP plan will be submitted for executive officer approval. Well, that is not a public process. And I had been told there would be a public process. I'm concerned about this language because I think there needs to be a public process. The third-party contracts, well, going back to the Rohnert Park thing a minute, is that the connection I make to this permit is that I have concerns that although Santa Rosa's done an excellent job in their own community, that they were also responsible to see that this kind of thing did not happen and in terms of Rohnert Park, and it just fell through the cracks, and I'm worried about things falling through the cracks. I don't feel this permit adequately defines what, for instance, if you have a broken sprinkler head, in Santa Rosa's requirements for recycled water users guide, it says, to assure full compliance with the rules and regulations governing the use of recycled water, regular monitoring of any recycled water system is necessary. For irrigation systems, weekly or twice monthly inspection is recommended. Well, if you have a broken sprinkler head and you're concerned about incidental runoff, if the thing is going for a week or two, that is unacceptable. So, and it's not, you know, this could all get defined through the BMP process, but it's absolutely essential that the BMP process be thoroughly public reviewed and that the public be aware of how they can be involved in the process. And after the BMP is in place, the public needs to remain connected to this because they are the ones that will often see and report the problems that may occur. And this is especially important during times of fiscal cutbacks, because there simply won't be the staff to continually oversight this. It was my understanding your staff would just be looking at reports on a yearly basis, and I'm not clear as to how closely they'd be monitoring this, and that the city would rely on reports from third-party contractors. And to me, that's part of the problem in Rohnert Park, that people relying on things and then they fall through the cracks. And that's the part of this that I hope you will address, because there's a lot of there's not only a lot of nutrients in wastewater, there's a lot of other unregulated chemicals. And I've talked about this before, and you're aware of the problem and how it's just extremely important to make sure that whole project works properly. And that one last thing, you know, a lot of times there are a lot of good laws on the books, but they just don't get monitored adequately, and things fall through the cracks. And what you see in reality and what you see in the Laguna now is a result of a lot of bad practices by a lot of people. And this irrigation runoff could become, has become a serious component of that problem. It's not the only one, but it's certainly a heavily contributing one. So I thank you very much for your time today.
Okay. Thank you, Brenda. All right. The board will take a short break and be back. And if I, one scheduling thing, given that the hour is 10:40, it's my sense that this item is going to last until lunch, and that those here for items that follow it, it's hard to guess, but I'm going to say 12:30. I could say 1 o'clock, but sometimes we finish, and let's just say the chair's not going to take up the next item until 12:30. So those that are here for either the elk or the Klamath discussion will take it up after that. It'll be my sense it will start with Klamath, but again, it somewhat just depends. I won't guarantee we'll be done with the MS4 by then, but at least give you some time away. With that, Colleen Fernault, followed by Don McInhill.
Good afternoon. Colleen Fernald from Sebastopol. And I appreciate the board in putting forward adequate stormwater requirements. I had a difficult time listening to information that I am rather certain is a risk when it comes to using recycled water in places where it could run off and harm a stream. And I noticed when I used to live over by the West College area where the water agency had their former headquarters and the city of Santa Rosa has their treatment system. And I noticed some illegal and very bad practices going on, and it took a long time to get any action, but I appreciate that the EPA is monitoring, and I'm disappointed to see that there are still activities taking place that are risky. The recycled water that was used at the water agency's former headquarters created such a stench in their area that it was hard to be there. In addition to that, there's a creek right behind there, so the practices really do need to have oversight. When there was a recent information in the paper about tap water trials where they put a filter on for the elderly and noticed it increased their health, and the point was made that this tap water is meeting federal requirements or state requirements for quality, and yet there's still a problem on the end when you're drinking it and you're absorbing contaminants. So the issue was made that maybe it's these state and federal requirements that aren't good enough. So when you hear that using recycled water will be just fine, I have to wonder, where are they getting that information if our purified drinking water is not good enough? So I see further risks down the road. And in the attempts in your permit to try to do something about it to help businesses and property owners reduce the amount of contamination they're adding to their environment. It's hard for me to hear the City of Santa Rosa and the Water Agency talk about not having enough funds to get in compliance with the education programs that you've put forward on that, knowing that there will be returns on that investment in future generations. I've seen, and I have warned against, when they're about to sign very expensive contracts with their consultants and going after projects that required expensive EIRs, and I said, that's just a waste of your money. One thing after another, I've seen serious waste of money, so it's just hard for me to take that finally we're educated enough to try to improve our standards, but unfortunately we don't have enough money to comply with them. There's something wrong with this picture.
Okay, I ask you to conclude.
I support the comments were made by Brenda Edelman, particularly about the serious runoff problems that are happening already, and then to put further risk with that by using questionable recycled water. It's just, it's too much of a risk for an already endangered species environment, as well as for residents. You can reduce the cost of monitoring by having community watershed care programs, similar to Neighborhood Watch for crime. You could have Neighborhood Watch for evidence of environmental harm, and you might get better compliance by everyone that's involved to help reduce the runoff contamination. And I also agree, I said with Alan Levine, I agree with the statements and information put forward with Brenda Edelman, and hope you will seriously consider the points that they have made. Thank you.
Thank you. Don McInhill, followed by Larry Hansen.
Good morning, Chair, members of the board. My name is Don McInhill with Russian River Keeper. I'm going to try and keep this nice and focused. The late revisions have my notes, my comments looking like a ransom note here. So, stormwater is the number one cause of impairment in the United States, costing communities and the environment billions in lost ecosystem services and effects on biologic resources like our endangered salmon. In Longfellow Creek in Washington, outside of Seattle, they restored everything in the creek habitat as far as structure, form, temperature, and they watched salmon return to Longfellow Creek and die when they met with stormwater runoff. That creek still has no salmon, and the cause is simply stormwater runoff. We know we can't afford to treat all the stormwater that is generated by existing development. The bulk of the comments received by the permittees relates to the cost of treating current development infrastructure that efficiently picks up pollutants and whisks them to our already beleaguered urban creeks in the Russian River. We strongly support adopting the building standards that have been in use in other regions over many years that will finally address the root cause of why our stormwater problem is so costly, existing development drainage patterns that are designed to treat rain as something to be expelled and evacuated from a building site to a concrete curb in an asphalt street to a metal or concrete pipe right to the waters we fish and swim in. Stormwater pollution is caused largely by traditional drainage engineering and is a nationwide problem. And nationwide engineering goals have changed to retain, and infiltrate, where the first retain is to retain any undisturbed native soils to reduce impermeable surfaces, retain stormwater by slowing it down and running through vegetated areas and allowing particles and pollutants to drop out and allowing that water to infiltrate the average rain event for a local area so that no runoff occurs. So rather than a quarter inch of rain mobilizing, delivering pollutants to our nearest creek, no runoff would occur with this permit. Clay soils have been brought up as an issue. Clay soils are not unique. Clay and other types of impervious or impermeable soils exist in other regions of the United States, and they have been addressed, and LID installations have been installed effectively using soil amendments, carefully chosen plant groups that can evapotranspirate in the winter, and they have succeeded in reducing stormwater pollution. some of the county area issues, rural areas especially, they are incredibly important for the new development standards. We really support the idea of keeping that in the permit, those three provisions, but especially the new development standards. Since undisturbed land produces little or no stormwater impacts, when a residence or business develops a property, pollutants become an issue, hydro modification becomes an issue, and since these discharges across the entire county area discharge into impaired waters, generally where we have endangered species, we strongly support that provision. We believe that the development standards should be throughout the county. Also, we agree with the LID regulations not to use under drains in BMPs. It is simply not meeting the definition of LID to have an under drain. Certainly to address things like slow perk soils and vector concerns from standing water, higher or elevated over drains can take water and in excess, and generally your top water is going to have less particles and sediment than your lower water, and that can drain in excess or high rain events. In many studies, it should be pointed out, LID, in fact, I'm not aware of one study where LID has been shown to increase the cost of development. LID is an effective tool in reducing the cost of drainage infrastructure, which reduces the cost and increases the affordability of new development. We support the improvements to the monitoring and reporting plan, but we know that in Santa Rosa, I heard that of monitoring two outfalls. We think certainly in an area the size of Santa Rosa, monitoring six outfalls would be more appropriate, and it's certainly feasible. I think we monitored about 10 outfalls in first flush, and we're volunteer, and believe me, we have no budget. We also support Brenda's comments about public input on the as-yet-defined BMPs. This permit isn't perfect, but I am, however, supporting the permit before you today because it does finally have meaningful, measurable, implementable standards for new development that will start to reverse the massive degradation we have experienced in this watershed and across the country from stormwater pollution. Please adopt the permit. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Don. Larry Hansen, followed by Wendy Zingler.
Yeah, Larry Hansen, representing Northern California River Watch. I generally support the permit before you. Comment on David of PRMD, who spoke of Mark West Creek watershed. I don't really quite understand all his references on the MS4, census designated places in phase one, et cetera, as it applies to his comments, but I do know about the adverse impacts to the Mark West Creek watershed. I've closely monitored that watershed and as in the last 5 years how the new projects have released large sediment loads to that creek, destroying the once amazing steelhead population in the upper Mark West. So I implore the board to give the highest protections for this and other watersheds, whatever the acronym you would like to give it. And I am too concerned, along with Brenda, regarding the so-called incidental runoff. The definition of this should be tightened up because the word incidental implies not significant. When more and more reports are coming out about the impacts of pharmaceutical and other chemical, low threshold chemicals in wastewater. And then if you're relying on BMPs to address the runoff, please make sure that the process has a complete transparency. Thank you very much for the your work you're doing and for my comments. Bye.
Thank you, Larry. Wendy Ziegler, followed by Lupe Chavarria.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my comments today. My name is Wendy Ziegler, and I work with a local consulting company here in Sonoma County, Windsor & Kelley. And I just wanted to state some of the concerns I have as a design engineer, some of the latest revisions that have just been made to the new MS4 permits. I appreciate the work that your staff has done. It's been a large task for them, but I do have some concerns about the removal of underdrains from the porous pavements. I think it might be difficult for implementation of LID BMPs because of site-specific constraints that we have here in our county. And I also have some concern with the retention of a stormwater volume on site for certain areas. And I haven't had a chance to really look at the effects of that, but I would suggest postponing approval of the MS4 permit until we've had, you know, the engineering community and we've been able to address some of these comments of the latest revisions that have been made. I just think we need a little bit more time to review some of the recent updates to the permit. That's all for today.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Lupe, followed by Jane Nielsen.
Good morning. I'm Lupe Chavarria, civil engineer, work for Gallo Vineyards. And I just have a couple of general comments here. I see there we have agency people, engineers, interest groups. And what I don't see here is like contractors and owners kind of getting input into this. And what I was basically trying to address was this issue about the BMPs and the effective treatment and design of the type of water that we're trying to clean up. As a suggestion is that the I'd like to have a sort of a review of the BMPs that are being proposed, both from an effectiveness point of view, a cost of construction, and the cost of maintenance. And I think that we're all trying to do the right thing here, but I think that if we could kind of have pick specific BMPs and say this specific BMP works, but the cost is more is prohibitive, maybe we can pick something that actually we can kind of strike a balance. And I know that this has been done with like with other agencies like BASMA in the Bay Area. And I think by doing that, we also get the input from the local conditions that everybody's talking about. We have clays, we have different types of soils, and we can see how certain BMPs work in certain areas and not others. So anyways, I would encourage that. And also from that, then we can actually get a clarification of some of these design guidelines for the sewer sump, for some of the new areas. Currently, right now, you have a big manual that has a lot of general type of approaches, and what we really need to do is kind of define that a little better. The second thing is, I noticed that as Nathan Quarles pointed out, the phase two boundary includes ag operations. Some of the ag practices that are not included in this would be the sustainable practices, which include the environmental, the economics, and the social equities. I mean, those three have to work. And in the environmental, they're looking to, you know, target certain inputs like pesticides or whatever. Those also some of the ag use biodynamics, which includes composting. You know, those are not being considered as, you know, treatment. So we have a whole different set of work in there. Also, by keeping track of these costs, maybe we can start to look at, you know, the effectiveness of putting a lot of effort at a local type of work and costs, as opposed to maybe, you know, looking at other options as far as maybe, you know, picking a certain area, a general area where we can maybe put some kind of a primary treatment plant or something, so that we're not putting a lot of effort into every specific little items. Instead of 1,000 little areas, maybe we just have a couple areas where we look at. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Jane Nielsen, followed by David Bannister.
Good morning. My name is Jane Nielsen. I work with the Sonoma County Water Coalition, but this morning I am representing only myself. I'm a geologist. Lately come to understanding water issues on the surface of the earth. I've studied water in the deeper earth. I think this is obviously a good permit overall. I'm concerned more about monitoring at this point. It disturbed me to hear that there isn't clear data analysis about what the previous permit has been able to do in terms of clearing up the water. How can goals be set or analyzed without adequate prior data? I think people need to be concerned about that. Given the lag time for data collection and assessment going forward with the new monitoring that's proposed in the permit, how can data, if data are collected showing that things aren't improving, is it possible to revise the permit there and not just wait for the TMDL? That might be something to consider adding to the permit. Especially if you're not showing progress toward the MEP. Is there a level of progress required? I haven't, you know, reviewed everything. It's been a short period of time to look at the most recent version. Is there some kind of progress toward the MEP in a period of time that's required? On the overwatering issue, and especially looking forward to increased use of wastewater, the incidental runoff issue is important, I believe, especially because of the clay minerals that are so abundant in the Santa Rosa Plain soils. They bind, clays bind ionic constituents, and that includes everything from the metabolites of personal care products and antibiotics to metals. They can be then flushed into the creeks during storms in the wintertime. This is something that needs to be included in the monitoring program and looked at. The public is going to be watching. The active and concerned public is going to be watching whether there's a public process or not. So that really does need to be included in looking at the incidental runoff issue. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. David Bannister, followed by Randy Collins.
David Bannister, representing the Laguna de Santa Rosa Foundation. The mission of the Laguna Foundation is to protect, restore, do scientific research, and educate the public about that resource. Because virtually every drop of rainwater or runoff that falls between Windsor and Cotati winds up in the Laguna, we strongly support the adoption of this permit. We'd also like to applaud the progress in controlling pollutant discharge to the Laguna that this new permit represents. The increased specificity and guidance on measurable goals, BMPs, inspection tools, and performance standards are all improvements that we believe will improve water quality in the Laguna. Another improvement that we would like to specifically support is the inclusion of the Laguna de Santa Rosa TMDL. And we would also like to suggest that additional monitoring to help determine compliance with that TMDL is needed. We also look forward to the day when this TMDL, which was adopted 14 years ago, is updated and becomes enforceable. We also share Brenda Edelman's concern about the summertime runoff or incidental runoff from irrigation. We've done work in the creeks in the Rohnert Park area and observed water in those creeks that we don't believe would be there without a source like irrigation runoff. That water is, in our opinion, contributing to the growth of the invasive species Ludwigia that we've done considerable amount of work to try and remove. I would note that plant will, even if the runoff was from potable water, that plant would be getting the water that it needs to survive, to thrive, and would probably be getting the nutrients carried off from turf-type irrigation, even if it was potable water. But still, regardless of where the water is coming from, it's feeding that plant, and we'd like to see that regulated. We look forward to additional monitoring and regulation to address that issue, and we'd encourage adoption of the permit. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Randy Collins, followed by Travis Whitehead.
Thank you, Chair Anderson, fellow board members. I'm here today representing the Sonoma County Fire Chiefs Association, which has about 45 fire agencies throughout Sonoma County. As you probably remember, I spoke at the July 22nd public hearing, and the focus of my comments pertained to the development of BMPs for firefighter training flows and the maintenance of fire protection system, including hydrants. More specifically, in developing flexible BMPs that recognize the diversity that exists in the various fire agencies in the county. For example, I think we would all agree that BMPs from a fire training exercise in an area like Wilmar that puddled in a field would dictate very different BMPs than a fire training exercise in Healdsburg that would have the potential to enter a storm drain. With a few exceptions, everyone in this county depends on a fire department that utilizes volunteer firefighters. To adequately train these firefighters, it is critical training flows be permitted and BMPs remain flexible. Over a year ago, when this process began, we initiated a dialogue with staff to develop BMPs that were realistic for the fire service to implement, and we are very appreciative for the efforts of staff in that regard. One product of this dialogue has been the development of a draft BMP program that the fire community has developed for review of staff. This BMP program does represent a practical approach to protecting water quality while still allowing fire agencies the opportunity to train so you have adequately trained firefighters that will serve everybody who lives here in this county. I have a copy here. I believe the chair has it, but I will also make one available for the recorder or clerk for this. But it is critical, and what I really want to emphasize and leave you the thought with is that we continue this dialogue, the staff and the board remains flexible and does allow, and in allowing us to develop these BMPs and wholeheartedly endorses this concept so we can do our job protecting all of you. Thank you.
And Randy, you're okay with the changes made to the, I don't know, what types of discharges and the dechlorination?
Yeah, the key there is was providing a little more general language in terms of what chemicals were are permitted or tablets were permitted, because that would have posed a real challenge if specific ones were left. So that was very helpful to us. The other thing that's extremely helpful is allowing aeration as a means to dechlorinate, because as all of you know, when water goes through a pump and it gets sprayed out a nozzle in very fine droplets, there's quite a bit of aeration. And so I can tell you with almost 99% certainty that almost every fire training exercise, you're going to get a significant amount of aeration, which will greatly diminish any threat to receiving waters.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Travis Whitehead. And this is the last card I have. So if there are others who want to speak, we'll entertain you.
Good morning. My name is Travis Whitehead. I am a local consulting geotechnical engineer. And just wanted to give a quick word of support for the use of underdrains under pervious pavements and also my disagreement with the retention of stormwater on site. As a geotechnical engineer, I'm very familiar with the soils in Sonoma County, and most of the valley floor consists of deep adobe clay or other impervious or relatively impenetrable soils. These are soils that are ideal for use as pond liner because they retain water very well and therefore aren't going to let water infiltrate. In addition, there are other numerous problems that water causes when it's not allowed to run off. These include foundation failures, concrete floor cracking, mold, and pavement failures. So I recommend further review of underdrains and stormwater retention given the soil conditions in our area and in majority of the areas affected by this permit. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Evan Hicks.
Thank you so much for letting me speak. I'm with the City of Santa Rosa, and I'm going to be speaking from a perspective of being a professional engineer in this region. I wanted to address two points that the engineers in this community have concerns about. The two points that I wanted to talk about are under drains and also the retention of the difference in pre- and post-volumes of water Okay, so let me see if I can make this very understandable for everybody. When we have the creeks that we have in our communities, they are affected by the development that has happened over time up to this point. Most of that causes high peak flow to come off our sites in a hurry. So that leaves the site and gets into our creeks. When these very flashy flows reach our creeks, they come all at once in a very large quantity, and then they disappear. They move downstream. What this does is it limits the amount of steady, cool, flowing water in our creeks. This limits the time that fish have to move upstream for migration. That's one point. The other thing that these kinds of past developments produce is that we have to kind of correct this by the future development that we're doing. So the future development is going to look at LID to do that. What we want to do is limit that peak flow, leaving our site, bring it back down to where we have a long period of low flow leaving our sites and holding that flow in the creeks. So the way we achieve that is by limiting peak flow and velocity, because those are the two things that can damage creeks. How we don't do that is by limiting duration. We want that water to continue for a long period to flow. So what we would propose is that the language that says that we must limit duration be removed from this permit for that reason. The other part of this is the volume retention that was spoken about. So when you have a site, before you develop it, a certain amount of water runs off. After you develop it, a slightly greater amount of volume will run off because of rooftops and paved surfaces. This difference in volume is being required to be retained, meaning it can never leave the site. This is actually detrimental to creeks because we want that water to continue to flow to the creeks and maintain that ecosystem. The other problem with this is what to really do with it. And I did a really rough calc. Typical lot going from completely undeveloped to a relatively developed site, and we're looking at over 1,000 gallons per storm event. And by definition, for that storm event and for the next storm event to have that volume empty, you would have to get rid of that 1,000 gallons within 3 days so that it was that volume was available to store the water again for the next storm. So it's a very big design problem for the designers and the community. So we would recommend that that language be altered and that the retention of volume be removed from the permit before it's adopted, so that we have a successful correction to this problem that's been happening throughout our communities. The other item, I know I'm out of time, is the underdrains. And I just wanted to mention again about the underdrains, that they're highly necessary in our clay soils. Ideally, we would love to recharge groundwater with this now cleaned stormwater. But because of our clay soils and in the winter, the very high water table that we have, it's very difficult to find a way to make that recharge happen. By providing perf pipe below our bioretention, we allow that water to be cleaned through the soil medium and then discharged to our creeks as clean water. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Helen. One last call. Anybody desirous to speak to the board?
Chair Anderson, members of the board, my name is Jeff Coleman with Carlin Zolling Associates. I'm both a private consulting engineer, registered civil engineer, and a licensed land surveyor. But I'm not here this morning to talk about my own interests, actually, as much as I am to reflect upon the interests of ACEC, the American Council of Engineering Companies, and some of the concerns that they have with regard to some of the provisions, the language that's been included in this draft permit. I want to start off by actually thanking staff, the regional board, particularly Mona Doherty and John Short, for all of their help and their hard work in helping prepare this permit, because particularly in the last hours, in the last couple of days, when they worked so closely with both our engineering community and the co-permittees to help clean up some of the language in the permit. Late last night, I received a number of phone calls from the principals of many of our local civil engineering companies, and they expressed that they were not able to be here today, but that they had concerns with some of the language that's in this permit, particularly the elements that were referenced by both Heaven and Travis earlier regarding the hydro modification component and the use of under drains inside bioretention areas. I can probably go into a little bit of detail with respect to the hydro modification, but it really isn't necessary. I think Kevin covered it really well. With so many of our local professionals concerned with these provisions in the specific language that's in there, questioning whether or not this is something that we can actually calculate, show by calculation, I can't help but wonder if maybe the language could be cleaned up a little bit more. And so I guess that I ask at this time that the board consider allowing us to rethink those requirements with respect to the duration and the volume for the hydro modification component of this new permit. Thank you.
Okay, Jeff. And if you would fill out a card at some point and give it to Gene when you can. Thank you. All right, with that, we'll come back to the board. Early on, I veered away from board questions, and I'm sure we haven't forgotten them. So. Mr. Hales.
Well, I guess we may. My question is for staff, and I don't know if at this point you want to take it back to staff and have them come.
Yeah, I think.
They may be able to address some of the questions that other board members may have, or at least set us straight on what our course is at this point.
Well, again, you know, chair's intent be to have a free-ranging discussion, raise all the questions you want and can, both to staff and bring back, as I said, co-permittees, put them back in the witness chair, and we'll hammer away at it, Miles and his friends, you know, that's... That's why we're here.
I'll address my questions to staff, and then if we need to bring co-permittees up or other folks, we can. There was an overwhelming amount of folks here talking about site-specific considerations and primarily under drains. And basically, I guess what I'm asking here in terms of what is our mechanism for evaluating the appropriateness and the feasibility of LID at sites based on site-specific conditions?
Well, how the permit is laid out right now is that the true LID BMPs can be selected by the co-permittees without our input. And then to move on to the less prioritized BMPs, such as having under drains, such as the other types of non-LID BMPs, the co-permittee shall develop feasibility criteria, basically in a process to grant an exception that they will follow and for our approval. And so then if we approve it they follow this exception process, they can approve additional BMPs for those sites that are particularly difficult to have the true LID BMPs.
And are under drains an acceptable measure to have as an option given specific site-specific constraints?
I guess we'll have to look at the feasibility criteria. That is definitely the lower priority, and that was the specific comment from the EPA. They wanted under drains, made that clear that the two highest LID priorities did not include under drains.
Mm-hmm.
But that is going to be an allowable BMPs under the feasibility criteria for an exception for the most prioritized BMPs.
And it would just need to be demonstrated by the permittee, though, that is the most appropriate.
Yes,
approach for the site.
Yeah, the prioritized BMPs are not feasible for the site.
Mm-hmm. So, if I may, do you have a page? Do you know where that's at? In the chair's going to try to keep focused on page whatever of 67 so that we can all see what the language actually reads like and not what we think it might be like. And
you can find this, the additions in your late revisions, page 41. So the package you got either last night or this morning. And it's under 3. It talks about if it is technically infeasible for a project to comply with the part 5, and it goes through, and those are the most prioritized BMPs. For the specified design storm, in order to comply with this order's LID requirements, the co-permittee shall obtain Regional Water Board Executive Officer approval prior to approving BMPs, or that they will develop feasibility criteria for our approval, that then they can go ahead and follow that process for an exception.
And maybe I can direct this question then, or follow up to our last speaker. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but
Jeff.
And on behalf of the other professional engineers and geotechnical engineers and geologists and folks in the related consulting fields, were your phone calls in respect specifically to the underdrain issue and not the hydromodification issue based on these most recent revisions here?
You need to come to the microphone.
I realize that we've had changes and more changes and late revision changes, and I know everybody's trying to work with everybody else to try to accommodate their concerns, and it seems like through some gentle or some language massaging, we're able to make a lot of headway here with a lot of folks. And so, you know, is this the most recent version that you've seen?
Actually, I haven't had an opportunity to review the most recent version, I have to say. I apologize. I know that changes have been made since yesterday.
And there you have it.
Thank you. All 18 pages. Oh. With respect to the hydromodification component, there are still a couple things in there that were of concern to us.
I was more from the – not from the hydromod, but from the underdrain issue.
Oh, the underdrains and LID. I think there again that the concern is because we've got clay soils, that it's going to be hard to demonstrate that we've got water that can get into the ground. And this is going to be a particular problem in areas where we've got hillside development where we're not wanting to put water into the ground because of the problems that it can create in those types of areas. In addition, you know, we're looking at additional expenditures even at a public level because right now in areas where we've got a potential for erosion or damage where water can be detrimental to the ground, presently what's being used are liners with an underdrain system so that we can keep water out of certain areas where we've got maybe perhaps expensive clays adjacent to public streets. We may not want this water running down public utility trenches because it creates problems, particularly in hillside development. And so there are situations, places where it is going to be appropriate to put these underdrains in, and we just want that to be considered. I think I agree with the concept that from an LID approach, it is preferable to pull these underdrains out to encourage groundwater recharge. But as engineers, it's going to be difficult to show that all of that water is getting back into the ground. And so we may even consider some form of compromise where we've got an underdrain, but the underdrain isn't at the lowermost elements of the soil. But maybe we've got a situation where we try to encourage the groundwater recharge, but where the water can't get into the ground, we've got an underdrain system that's a form of bypass. In these types of situations where we've got water that's running through a media, most of the time the media is going to be a sandy loam or sand, so we do have filtration. So the treatment component's there, we just may not have the detention component, the delay of the water, as much as we might in other situations.
Thanks. Fine, thank you.
I'm still trying to sort it out on pages 40, 41. The bottom of 40, I believe, is the place where we first bump into the underdrain change. Is that it?
Yes.
And then it's carried over to the top of 41. Can you explain for me the difference between what's on page 40 and the top of 41, why we have a B that's other if we're...
Well, A and B under
two.
B2 are the most prioritized BMPs. And what what is considered 2LID, which you actually retain the storm volume as well. So the A is the bioretention BMPs, rain gardens, green roofs, tree boxes, vegetated planters, bioretention swales. And then B allows for ones that might not have might not be as high a priority as A, that could be like modular or proprietary, which can be easier at times to fit into a small footprint, but don't allow for the same types of dispersal. So those are the two most prioritized BMPs, but they are slightly different.
And the paragraph C, D, E, F on page 41 then allow for the executive officer to make an approval of an alternative?
Or the co-permittees can develop feasibility criteria for a public comment period and our executive officer approval, by which they will allow, under certain circumstances, the use of BMPs in C, D, E, or F.
So if they're developed by the co-permittees, then there's a public approval process.
That's at the request of EPA and the late revisions, asking to make sure that this is as transparent a process as possible.
And when we trying to find, it's in paragraph 3, these feasibility criteria shall be submitted for review and approval in public review. How do we interpret what the meaning of public review?
Well, I interpreted it to mean that we would notice it for public review, and that then after receiving comments and taking those comments into account, that our executive officer would make a determination whether to approve or whether to ask for changes being made, and that when we bring the stormwater management plan back to the board for periodic approval and updates, that it would then, your approval will be added on top of our executive officer's approval.
So again, it's my understanding there's a two-track. The executive officer can approve the review.
Well, maybe visualize it as there allows an executive officer approval process for specific project-by-project approval. Okay. And that can be cumbersome. So we've allowed there that the co-permittees can develop a criteria for which they'll follow. And if we approve it and come to agreement with them, then they're allowed to follow that for their own approval process and then not have to seek our approval prior to their approval.
All right. So it's clear to all that that is a process, that there would be notice and there would be comments solicited. Those that want to make comments can, and once we get a packet of comments, we'll analyze to, you know, if it's a small thing or a big thing and proceed from there. Okay. And on the feasibility, setting the feasibility criteria, I think I ran into that in, I thought page 39, I'm not finding it at the moment. If staff have a sense, my sense was that, and I think it came up in the public comment, that these feasibility criteria are to be set. Is there a time deadline on the setting of feasibility criteria?
A different BMP plan. The feasibility criteria apply only to post-construction controls. The BMP plans that the executive officer will approve to control non-stormwater discharges in Table 1 have a time deadline for which they need to be submitted of May 15th, 2010. And that's okay. Table 1, I believe it starts on page 10 or 11. Starts on page 11 and describes the public process and executive officer approval process of the BMP plans for non-stormwater discharges.
So the feasibility criteria is not a time, I mean, it's a floating thing. If they want to come up with an alternative BMP, then they come up with that when they come up with it, and if they need criteria, they establish a criteria at that point.
Correct. There is not a timeline for them to develop the feasibility criteria. There's also a requirement in the permit that for all the BMPs in the permit, that if the co-permittees want to ask for an alternate BMP to be used, that if they can make that request of executive officer approval. So not only just these specific BMPs we're discussing now, but BMPs throughout the entire permit can be, if they can show that they have something that's more cost effective and will achieve the same treatment or better, they can go through a process to have us approve the exchange.
Okay. Shifting gears slightly, but somewhat related. Page 39, 2A2, so it's right dead center of the page. Co-permittee shall initiate SUSUMP guidance intended to formally prioritize LID treatment BMPs consistent with this Part 5B2 that we've been talking about. There, that was the deadline of January 1, 2010, and sitting here on October 1 of Lot 9 strikes me as being, I don't quite know, maybe it's softened sufficiently by the final sentence in 2, can comply by adopting a resolution or issuing a guidance letter, and is...
I actually can address that. I actually can't find it for some reason in my permit right now, but I can address the issue in general. So this is actually specifically meant to have them be able to issue guidance to their own staff through a guidance letter or some other mechanism or resolution to their to their city councils. That's what Windsor is currently doing, telling their staff that we're going to prioritize LID BMPs using the tools we already have, using their SUSUMP that they already have, using any other LID. There's LID manuals to be had. Many places, a lot of them are really high quality. So this is just our ability to get them to implement LID as soon as possible. We didn't feel that we could wait for the formal guidance to be adopted 2 years from now, that they have the tools that they need, and so that if they can just use those tools now, they can start implementing LID a lot earlier.
I guess just from the co-permittees, is your understanding you're okay with the words here and the deadline? You can comply. It's not.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And just an somewhat, I guess it's an observation, but LID is not a new concept. I'm just somewhat struck by the difficulty that, you know, I respect the professional engineering viewpoint that this is a difficult thing to meet, and I'm having a bit of a hard time trying to figure out why that is. I haven't settled on, you know, if we're asking for too much, and it's trying to fit formulas that work somewhere else. Mr. Lescure cited the state board's adoption of the, as I understood it, the construction permit. It had a tool in it that if that tool is available, then this would be a fairly simple calculation. Well, I respect Peter Lescure's ability to do calculations, so I'm not sure why Pete Lescure is defaulting to a tool prepared by the state board's construction permit, which strikes me as being needing to address a wider range of issues than we would have here. And I am going to engage in this discussion about flow volume and duration and how you calculate and how the storm design is determined, and, you know, if we have it right in the wording that's on the page. So to that, it's a general observation, but take staff comment and then pose the same if co-permittees want to weigh in, I'm trying to get to the bottom of why these words don't seem to work.
I'll give it a shot. And first of all, I want to draw your attention to documents that were submitted as part of the record for this permit. This is a small subset of technical documents from the Bay Area, from other states, all looking at the feasibility of LID. And in particular, the Bay Area reports are very comparable to our situation here. A lot of clay soils and a lot of focus on what can we do with the constraints that we have. And time after time, these studies that were submitted as part of the San Francisco Bay Regional Board MS4 permits and were submitted here, they show that LID is doable, not on all sites, but certainly more than has been implemented in the past. Even in clay soils, a portion of the runoff can be evaporated. It can be diverted to vegetation where it evaporates. It can be reused. And all the permit is saying is look at those options first. Before you put in a filter and pipe that water to the storm drain, look at options for putting that water to the pre-existing use of recharging groundwater, of evaporating through vegetation, and reusing where possible. And there is an off-ramp where problem sites, and I know they're out there, can use other technologies, but it just lays out that this is the highest priority. Look at this first.
Well, John, when you say off-ramp, you're talking about back on page 41 that...
Correct.
Either go with A or B. If it works, that's the preferred, and if not, it's C, D, E, or F.
Correct. The issue about volume, velocity, duration, that has more to do with the hydromodification language. And we did attempt, at least in the interim, to lay those out as goals. You try to do what you can to reduce the changes in the full spectrum of storm events.
Can you point us to where that, I mean, is that lodged in one general area in here?
Maybe it might be best to look at it in the revisions. So that would be on page 42 of your late revisions.
If I was going to observe, my understanding would be that all members of the public have access to the late revisions, or if not, we'd ask you to put it up on the screen. But people seem to be satisfied. Page 42. So, John, you're saying this is a goal? This is what we're...
What we tried to do is remove any mandate that they look at these other flow-related factors, the duration, the velocity, all the various changes that happen when you add impervious surfaces, that not be a requirement. So these changes reflect that. Ultimately, though, they will have to prepare a hydromodification plan that gets at the peak flow and what the impacts are on the stream and erosion and sediment capacity, and all those issues come later. But we thought it was too soon to put hard and fast constraints on those various factors that are related to hydrology. And so,
and when you say prepare a hydromodification control plan, is that for the footprint of the boundary of this? Is that something
Correct.
That's done at that macro level, or is it done for Jones's five house project over on Olive and 4th Street? I mean, at what level is it?
The idea is to do it on a macro level. That's why we're postponing having site-specific constraints to allow it to be done on a watershed basis and working with the Sonoma County Water Agency in their update of the flood manual. That's where it belongs. Peak, flood is one component of this, and so We are working with the water agency to look at these other components of hydrology in that design manual that they're working on now.
And Mr. Booker's comments referred to the, and I forget if he said we're beginning work or they've started. What's your take on the status of the hydro modification control plans being under development?
I think the water agency is being really proactive and moving forward on this. The permit gives a four-year compliance schedule to develop that plan, but recently in the late revisions, we also did add a footnote that if the co-permittees were making good progress on their plan, and that it would an extension of the timeline of the four-year timeline would provide a better plan, and that they have good interim requirements, we could provide an extension, or the executive officer could provide an extension if they need it.
Okay. Footnote 18. My apologies before I say this, but we've had word from heaven that duration should be removed. And, you know, when you get a message from heaven, you should listen to it. Amen.
We still do refer to duration under the interim hydro modification section, but you'll notice we fuzzed it up. It's not an absolute requirement. It says look at duration, look at peak flows, look at velocities, take all these into consideration, but it doesn't have a hard and fast requirement saying you have to, you know, look at pre-existing conditions and mimic every single hydrologic factor. It just lays them all out there. In some cases, duration may be of interest, others not. And so we don't think the language as written is putting an additional burden on the development community.
Okay. Mr. Massey.
A couple of things. First, I know from having been in and out of our offices, and I believe that Ms. Doherty is scheduled for an overdue vacation at the end of this. The staff has done just an absolutely outstanding job, I think, of not only keeping the public advised of this, but also members of the board as we have come and gone and gotten the information. It's just a really, really good organic process that is going on, and I absolutely appreciate it. I think my question, more to the point, and Mr. Anderson's word by word, and I absolutely appreciate it, but the question from my perspective is, can we live with this? I know that we could sit here for the next 1,000 years, and I don't think we'd ever get the absolute verbiage 100% correct. So the question is, as the co-permittees particularly, can you live with it? Will it work? Can we have certainly heard from EPA that we need to do this. This is a federal mandate. We don't get a choice in it, so we need to do it. Can we live with this permit the way it is? And what I'm hearing, I believe, is that there might be a tweak here or there. This is not the last time we will visit this, but is there anybody out there that says, no, this is totally untenable? And I don't think I'm hearing that from the co-permittees, but I certainly would let somebody say that. We do have one, Mr. Henderson. It's totally untenable. I will leave it up to the chair if you would like to speak, but that's really my measure on this is, can we live with the thing? And I believe at this point that everybody has testified, yeah, there's a change here, there's a change there, but it should be workable. So I think unless the gentleman wants to explain to us why it can't be done, I'd...
Well, yeah, the chair would be interested in co-permittee's view of it. Reg?
Thank you, Chair and board members. I would not say...
Just state for the record.
Reg Cullen, County of Sonoma, Engineering Division, Grading and Stormwater Section. I work closely with Nathan and attended most co-permit team meetings and know John and Mona fairly well over the last few years. I would not say that this permit is completely untenable. What I would say is some of the changes that were suggested today, I believe, should be made before the permit is adopted. For example, in particular, we pointed out a section on restrictions on hillside grading. That's where the hillsides are greater than 20% during the wet season. And there's general recognition that the basic causes of erosion and sediment transport, there's three of them, they're water, water, and water. And so during the wet season on a high slope, you're going to get a lot of erosion. Now, in that same section, there are also provisions that prohibit grading. And unless, as Nathan was suggesting, the formatting is such that there's recognition that the prohibition against grading falls only to hillside slopes greater than 20%, for example, we'll have a restriction, a halting of grading during the winter. And I don't think this board wants that. That's one example that I bring to your attention where I think the revisions, some, you know, the under drain, for example. In the SUSUMP guidelines now that were produced in 2005, there's two types of vegetated swales. One does not have an under drain. It's for use in soils that are well-drained, called A or B-type soils. There was a provision made for the use of a vegetated swale in the poorly drained soils, the C or D-types, where there's a clay layer. That type 2 vegetated swale does have an underdrain. In my way of thinking, vegetated swales treat stormwater on the surface. It's the vegetation that filters out the particles and the pollutants. I think if you get any additional infiltration from a vegetated swale, that's a bonus that you get from the type without an underdrain. In areas where we do have clay soils, you still get the treatment at the surface, but there may be times when you need an underdrain to remove water from saturated soils, so it does not stand. Those are just two examples that I would like to see formally changed before this permit is adopted.
And Reg, just for the record, you've been with the county and worked on stormwater issues how long?
I was hired by the county in 2004.
So you worked under the current permit?
Yes. I was part of the technical advisory committee for the SUSUMP guidelines that were adopted by the co-permittees in 2005.
Right. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. What? No. Unless, I mean, I responded to Board Member Massey's query as to if this was an untenable and we got one taker. Okay. I mean, I'm happy to hear from co-permittees if you're representing them.
Okay. Heaven Hicks, City of Santa Rosa, and co-permittee. And what I would just like to add is that we agree with Reggie's position that with some formal changes that we've discussed today, that this permit would be adoptable. However, as it's written today, there are a few significant minor changes that have significant ramifications that need to be changed prior to its adoption. And just speaking one more time about the subdrains, when we're looking at page 40 on here, this part A, this top priority, fire retention BMPs such as rain gardens, green roofs and tree boxes, vegetated planters, and bioretention swales. Some of these, by virtue of their design, must have an underdrain. Think about a green roof. that has to have somewhere for the water to go. Ultimately, it can't stay on the roof. Also, these bioretention areas that are essentially dug out and then filled with imported soil that does drain a sandy soil, that is going to have some place to drain out to. So with these recommendations and also the hillside grading and a few of the others that we've talked about, if those changes are made, then it's something that the co-permittees can be happy supporting.
Okay. Other board member questions? John, I cut you off with a question early in the day. Are you?
It's fine. It's
got covered. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Norn.
I think it's important to say that the way that I understand this thing's written now is that it encourages everything but an underdrain. I think we're getting kind of caught up on an underdrain issue here, that we would like to see low-impact development that slows it down, retains it, filters it on-site and use on-site and stop. This is all about hydromodification. The low-impact development part of this thing at the very end, I'm part of the consultant community in our area, and I greatly respect some of the folks that spoke today, that the last thing, if it doesn't work for a site, then we have built into this permit provisions that allow exceptions to that, whether that be an underdrain or something else. So just to make that point clear, that's as I understand it.
I agree with Board Member Norn. That was exactly my point, that I wanted to make sure that we just had provisions to evaluate all possible options.
I think the last thing we want is an underdrain in reality on some of these structures. And if there's no other way to do it, and on a hillside, we don't want a failure of a hillside or a utility trench and that kind of thing, that's the last thing we would want to have happen, is a catastrophic failure. At the same time, we would like to see, I believe, in the way that this thing is written, is that we would like to see implementation of every other step we could get to, in absent of that necessity to have that kind of underdrain that, in essence, defeats the purpose of that type of structure and control. That's as I understand it.
Okay. I would ask if staff have a list of...
Mr. Chair, I do have...
Excuse me? Mr. Dunker.
My question goes to Nathan Quarles. And I wanted to make sure that I understood you correctly. You stated that, and this is regarding the boundary, the permit boundary. You stated in your rural areas, or in some of your rural areas, that should be waived from the permit boundary area. Did I read that correctly?
Yes, that's correct. It's due to the fact that they're not census-designated locations, nor do they have the populations to support a MS4 permit.
Okay, now... In regards to that, and more mostly out of curiosity, do you have currently any planned development within the new permitted time period?
I can't predict the future, but I would bet that yes, there's going to be some sort of development, either vineyards, subdivisions, single-family homes. Most of those are going to be private developments, and the odds are that it depends on the project. Some of the roadways and associated infrastructure does come into the county under agreements, but the way the Department of Transportation is funded and going these days, they are hesitant to accept some of these new developments. I can't speak for what transportation is going to do, but I know of a couple cases where they've required some of these BMPs to be moved out of the right-of-way so that transportation did not have that maintenance requirement or maintenance liability.
Thank you.
With the follow-up being, if those are private storm drain systems, they're not an MS4 by definition and would not be subject to the permit.
And having you back up, Nathan, you said that I can't find my note where I wrote it down, but a county-owned MS4 system, do you have a map of what you consider to be the MS4 and what?
Transportation under the current permit has mapped the majority in the Larkfield-Wickiup area. They focused on the urbanized area. They do have some rudimentary, well, I don't want to speak for transportation, but I do believe we know where the county roads are. We have roadside ditches along those roads. Yes, we know where the county-owned MS4s are generally in the county. We have the roads mapped, but I don't know the detail of the mapping outside the urban center.
And when you say you have the roads mapped, is it all public roads become part of the MS4? Is that how you treat them? Or do you have, is there some criteria a road has to have curb and gutter in order to be part of an MS4? Or how
not my take on the Clean Water Act definition, which is just a system or systems of conveyances that convey stormwater that are owned or controlled by a municipality is by definition an MS4. So that can range from a roadside ditch to curb and gutter and a full-on, you know, urbanized type MS4 all the way to the roadside ditch along St. Helena Road, for example.
Right.
Mr. Chair, regarding my question about the rural areas within the county, does the staff any kind of response to that question?
Well, I think there's a couple issues that we'd like to respond to. You know, first of all, a lot of the requirements in the permit for urbanized areas are not applicable to the more rural areas. Street sweeping is not for areas that don't have a curb and gutter. As far as new development goes, though, we do think that it's appropriate within the permit boundary that all new development that is going to hook into the county storm drain system. So even if a new subdivision develops their own private storm drain system throughout their subdivision, in most cases they're going to then hook into the county MS4 system that would then become under the purview of this permit. So we do think that it is important as Sonoma County urbanizes over time that new development is treated for post-construction runoff. And one of our concerns with this issue, especially with the TMDL being developed, is that doing controls when you're developing a project are much more cost effective than going in later when you have a TMDL that has, you know, has given you waste load allocations and having to retrofit existing development. So we are trying to avoid additional costs down the road due to retrofit or TMDL issues.
Thank you.
Mr. Quarles.
Yes, I have a rebuttal to Mona's statement. I mean, in the rural setting, I mean, consider the North Coast. We get a lot of rain. The terrain is very hilly. Once you get over one ridge, say you have Marquess Creek, Marquess Station Road, or St. Helena Road going back up into the hills, once you get one ridge over, that's going to drain to a local creek. And if that's a private system, it's not coming through a public MS4.
And that is true. If it develops their own private outfall into waters of the state or waters of the U.S., then our staff would permit it under our 401 or waiver of waste discharge requirements permit. And we do many of those types of projects, but still there are many more that actually hook into an existing municipality-owned storm drain system.
As I've said many times, I often find there's good advantage to my having a master's degree in family relations. So I don't know. All right. Mr. Corbett.
I had just one question for staff. You heard our Mr. Massey's question directed to the audience on problems if we adopted today without further definition in the language. What is your opinion on the wisdom of doing that? Do you think it is livable or not, or whether we do need to refine some of the language?
This is our third draft. We have gone through many, many refinements, many, many, many meetings, well over 1,000 comments that we've responded to, and many of them we've incorporated into our drafts. based on the comments today, I think what we're doing is we're balancing some concerns from our staff and EPA and from the design community that are hard to make everybody be on the same page. We feel that we have, through all these iterations of the permit, through all these meetings, I mean hundreds of hours of meetings with interested parties, we feel that we really have reached a compromise that allows exceptions for when the goals cannot be met, but make sure that the goals are clearly stated. The goals are there. They are measurable. They are required. You can go through a process if you cannot meet the goals, but we, you know, EPA made a comment to me that really resounded, is that we have to set the bar high and then allow exceptions. If we set the bar low, then we're going to find exceptions that are going to go even down further, and we're not going to meet the intent of the permit.
Besides that, we would have to put the first responders to work if we suggested to Mona that she had to keep doing this. You'd be flat on that table.
Maybe the mental health experts.
So,
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
I think it's pretty clear there's an enormous amount of work that's been put into this. There was a 96 version, a 2003 version, a 2009 version, and we obviously have another version coming up. So as soon as you get back from vacation, you can start working on the next permit. But there are I don't think we will ever get a perfect permit, and because of that, I'm going to give you a motion, Mr. Chair, to adopt this permit, understanding there are some problems with it, but we are going to go to another iteration of this permit in the next several years, so we can correct those if they truly are big problems. But because we need to decide what to do with it, I would give you a motion to accept this permit.
Second.
Okay. Yeah. Chair will entertain further discussion, and I'm going to ask staff to make comments. So, Mr. Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Mr. Massey said something that's very true, is that this is an organic process. This is an ongoing process that's been going for 13 years, and it will continue. I think it is important if we go to accept this permit today that we recognize and include a direction to staff to provide an update to this board on a periodic basis, not to probably exceed 12 to 18 months, to update us on permit implementation, costs. It seems to me we've had a lot of discussion today about costs, and the more it seems to me that costs is discussed, the better we get, that there's clarity, that I think this is very much an organic process that's unique between a regulatory body and the regulated community. BMP effectiveness is another one in development. I'd like to see a transparency process at the BMP development. There's been issues raised with incidental runoff today again, and part of that is, and as well as compliance. And I'd like to see that we manage the MS4 program truly as a program so that we get updates as a board as this thing goes. I don't think we're going to get this thing to be perfect, but I would like to ask that we consider that within the adoption of this.
I certainly would be willing to amend my motion to include updates.
And I'll, as seconder, accept the friendly amendment as well.
Okay. I would ask Executive Officer any observations, comments, and fine-tuning.
Just two more fine-tuning points here is that we would like the motion to be further amended to delete attachment E to the permit, which has it in the photos that the city clarified for us, and we would also E and F. So delete attachments E and F to the permit. There are things that are in the record but really shouldn't be adopted as part of the permit. So that.
Well, on that point, I had one in terms of attachment D, which is the water management plan submitted by the co-permittees in 2008. And is that, I mean, if it's just as part of the record and it was a document submitted, but if it is to be the guiding water management plan, I think it's unfair to have a document that was submitted, we go through all these changes, and then we adopt it at the end. It doesn't seem to me to, I mean, if it has meaning as It's titled the Water Management Plan. And
the way I understand it is that the management plan has to be amended, has to be included with it, but that it will be amended. The direction in the permit is for the co-permittees to come back with changes to the management plan consistent with the permit. Is that correct?
That's correct. It is an enforceable part of the permit. There's timelines in the permit for which for them to update their management plan, bring it back, and then we in direction in the permit for us to bring those updates to you for your approval.
So it would be changed to track today's version. Okay.
Yes,
brought back. Second minor point would be on page 48 of 66, part eight, development construction program, number two, grading restrictions, that be clarified that it's just dealing with the hillside and renumbered. And that just is we can take care of that in finishing off the permit.
Mr. Chair, I would agree to those changes in the motion.
We also need to include the late revisions in the motion also, the late revisions that were included earlier today that we've discussed previously.
I have no problem with that, but sort of for clarity's sake, if we have all of these
bits and pieces,
the staff proposal. So when we adopt the staff proposal, I don't want to leave something out at this point. It is as the errata sheet, the other amendments, the oral amendments, and the latest statements by the executive director as to what the staff motion is. And then I will accept those as friendly amendments. I have one question. Is it absolutely clear what photos are excluded or?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm that clarification. Accept friendly amendments.
So staff is clear? Is the board clear? Are we ready to vote? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Appreciate you all and your contribution. Bring the board back into session, and chair is going to